I have been cultivated in the secret and in the quiet place. He goes, that is what I called you to be, is a voice for my name, to be an intercessor and to be someone who will stand on the wall for the things that break my heart. That is why I need you to go to IHOP U, because if I am going to let you raise up my people, you have to have your own voice and your understanding within that voice. And I was like, okay. Like 3 months of all these questionings, and he just stops there. I was actually sitting on my balcony just reading the Bible, and I'm just sobbing because I just, you know, I just got touched from the Lord. And my roommate walks out, looks at me, and goes, okay. And walks back inside. But that is a moment that has marked me and will forever mark my life. And I go, okay, Lord, you want me to disciple your people. What does that look like? Like, I'm going to IHOP U. How do I start discipling right now? I'm going to do a Bible study, small group. You know, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm going to go back to doing that. And I said, no. Have you ever thought about working for the internship that you just graduated from? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, well, think about it. So for 2 weeks, every single day, it was the same thought process of going back to work at that internship and doing what I just did for 5 months. And so after about another 2 months, the Lord finally let that happen. I did an interview, and I actually am now going to work for that internship. And so that's what the Lord has kind of been doing for the last 3 months, and that's where he's brought me now. So I'm in Kansas City, and I'm a full-time student, but I also get to pour into this next generation. And in 2 weeks starts upcoming track, and I get to live with 8 to 9 girls in an apartment, and I get to love them daily, and it will not always be weekend, no matter. It's a lot of hormones anyway, but I get to live with them, and I get to love them, and I actually get to teach in front of them, which is really scary for me, and talk in front of people. But every single day, I get to pour into them, and I get to let my love of Jesus be shown through the way I love them. So yeah, that's kind of where the Lord's brought me. So now I'm going to hand it back over to Pete.
Amen.
Well, you can sit down. And I'll stop here with the church. That takes a lot of work to stand up here and talk. It really does. Any of y'all that's ever done it, it takes a lot of courage to do that. Kristen shared with us about a month ago what the Lord was doing and everything, and I was grateful that she got an opportunity. She didn't think she was going to get an opportunity to come here and share because her schedule's so busy, but I'm thankful that she was able to. I asked her before, I said, so where are you at on your goal? She's $365 short of her goal. You say, oh, that don't sound like much. No, that's $365 a month that she's short of her goal. And so at the end of service, I'm going to have Hayden stand at the back, and we're going to take up a love offering for Kristen. But she has this really cool thing that she can send you a link. And it's where you, if you don't have money today, but you have money in the bank and you feel the Lord's telling you to help her, there's a link that she has an ID number, and you can give through that link with your credit card, debit card, checking account, or whatever. You can give a one-time gift, or you can set it up where it comes out monthly, weekly, whatever you want to give. And so if you do feel like you're called to give to her more than just a love offering today and help her do this ministry that God's called her to, you can either see Kristen afterwards, or you can let me know and I can send you the link. I'm terrible with apps, I'm terrible with technology, I'm terrible with all that stuff, and I figured out how to do it. I texted Kristen and I'm like, make sure you got this, because I don't know. And she texted me back a day later, yes, it all showed up. You figured out how to do it. So I can figure out how to do it, I promise you. Any of y'all can figure out how to do it. And so, but it's really a neat opportunity. She will be going through June, right? And June, was it that you said that you will be given updates and maybe get to come back and talk again? You were saying like yearly, like,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do like a newsletter, but every year.
Yeah, every year that, you know, but it. So she's not sure how long God's going to keep her here. But anyway, thank you, Kristen, for coming and sharing. And so I wasn't sure how long she was going to take, so I wasn't sure what to prepare. I had three different thoughts in mind for a sermon today, and one of them was really funny. And you guys might get that next week, but I thought, no, the Lord doesn't want me to share that today. And so what I felt like he was leading me into was called to be a serpent in the title of the message today. And I thought, well, that will go right along with what Kristen and Mary are sharing, because she's just trying to find her place, where God has her, where God wants to lead her. And in that, to church, it's like with us, if you can give $5 this morning, if you can help her monthly, if you can give $1,000, you're taking part in the work of God's kingdom. So not all of us are going to be able to travel and go and do what she's going to be doing, but we can all participate in it. But if you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to pray before I begin. Lord, we just so welcome your presence here this morning, and thank you for the work that you're doing in Christian lives. And Lord, I pray now that as we study your word, that your voice would speak to each and every one of us about changes that we need to make, areas in our life that we need to work on. Father, where we just need to repent and allow you to have total control. May your will be done now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 4, verse 18 through 20. And it says that Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, Kristen talking about the voice of God and turning away, and do you really hear the voice of God? Here, Jesus is physically telling these guys, "Hey, come follow me." We've all had different times in our life, I think, where we felt the call of God upon our life. Me being up here preaching, I tried to run from it as long as I could, and I knew it wasn't an audible voice of the Lord saying, "Be priest," but I just, something inside of me knew. I remember from the first few weeks that I started coming to this church, the Lord said, "Serve." He said, "Serve," and I just said, "What can I do?" And I thought, you know, but then figuring out where God wants you, figuring out what God wants you to do. And here, he told these guys, I want you to think about it, they were fishermen, and he's saying, "Now I'm going to make you fishers of men." So not only was there a change in their life and what they were pursuing, but a change in their livelihood. You think about that. If God came to you today, I don't know, we have teachers, we have accountants, we have truck drivers, we have all different sorts of people here that work in different areas. If God came to you today and said, "Hey, quit your job and come here and let's do this," how many of us, what would our reaction be? Lord, That can't be you, right? That wasn't you. No, I'm not here. Wouldn't we do that? But these guys said immediately they dropped what they were doing and they followed. And I was thinking about that, and he said, "I'm going to have you catching people." I probably need to dust off the notes. It's probably been 10, 12 years ago. I did like a, and I hardly ever do a series of sermons, but the Lord has gave me a series of sermons on being bait. Because that's what these men were becoming. They were fishers of men. They were going to become the bait. What's drawing people? What's attracting people? And for many of us, that should be the intent of our life, is that we are the bait now, that we're fishers of men. That people ought to be drawn to us. I want to go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." See, this is upside down thinking. there was a debate here over who was going to sit by Jesus' side, and the disciples were angry. If you look at verse 24, it says they were indignant with the two brothers because they wanted to sit by Jesus' side. They wanted to be first. And what was Jesus saying? If you really want to be first, you're going to have to become last. You're going to have to become a servant. Now, for many of us, the thought of being a servant is like, do we really understand what all that entails? Do you really understand? I'll give you an example. Like at work, we had customers that were very mean, and we had a few drivers get fired because they talked back to the customer, because the customer's always right. And so I know we've been told before, as long as you're in that uniform, you represent this company, and you got to take whatever they're going to dish out to you. Now, most of us in our normal everyday life, we think, well, that's terrible. Someone's being mean, someone's being ugly, or grabbing at you. You just want to hang up the phone, you want to walk away, or whatever. But because I'm employed, and I have a boss, I have to listen to what he says. And sometimes it's not always fun. Sometimes it's not always nice. And now 99.9% of the people I deal with every day are great, wonderful people. They're just earning a living just like me, and they're easy to deal with. But every once in a while you get that one, and it's not so pleasant. But if I want to do, when they're ugly to me, what my flesh says, more than likely I'm going to lose my job. You know, many of us, we think for being a servant of Jesus that oh, everything is just wonderful, everything is just great. And it is in one way, but in another way, that means dying to yourself. And sometimes yourself, I didn't even know if I should share this story because I don't want to glorify myself because it's not me. It's not me. Last week, we had the big 4th of July party, had a great time, but it was hot. And at the end of the day, everybody's picking up. Peter's down here mopping, guys are carrying tables and chairs, and I'm sweating, and I'm tired, trying to make sure everybody's got all their stuff. And I had to run up to Greenwood to take Colton back all of his stuff because I didn't want to get lost. I'm drop off his stuff, and I see a car broke down on the side of the road. And all this, Mark and Tamisha's ice chest broke that they let the church use. So then I'm like, I want to go get parts to fix their ice chest. I don't want to give them back a broken ice chest. So I go on up to Greenwood and I see this car sitting on the side of the road. And the Lord said, you probably need to stop. It's hot. Lord, it's already 5:00. I'm hot. I'm tired. It's been a long day. Haven't I done enough? If you're still there when I get back, I'll stop. So I go on to Greenwood to try and find the parts. Can't find the parts. So by then, I'm starting to get hungry for supper. And I'm like, I just want pizza. I'm just gonna order pizza and take pizza home. We'll just eat pizza. So I order. Busy, 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 busy. I know they're open. Busy, busy. So I order pizza. The girl's like, it'll be 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I didn't think it'd be that quick. I go to the pizza place, and after 40 minutes of sitting there, I said, did y'all forget me? And they're kind of looking around. No, it's in the oven now. Put my fake smile on. Okay. I wasn't happy. By then, it's almost 6 o'clock, and I'm driving home, and it hits me. Those people are broken down on the side of the road. And they're still sitting there. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I felt like I served you all day. I'm hot, still hanging out in my shower. But I'll stop. I stopped and I said, y'all have no idea how much you drank last week. We went through 6-12 packs of sodas, 3 of those cases of kids' drink, and 3.5 cases of water. And all I had left was a couple Diet Pepsis and I think 1 Mountain Dew. So I pull up and I can see 2 women sitting there and these little kids playing in the ditch. I said, said, do y'all need help? I could, by then I could tell they had a flat tire. They said, our husband's on the way, on their way. They should be here any minute. So thank you for stopping. I said, well, I've got drinks. Dying. I said, I'm all out of water. I'm all out of... No, we're good. We're good. They didn't even need me. They didn't even need me. So I drove on.
Why did I even feel so strongly to stop?
Maybe it was the Lord just testing me, saying, are you going to be obedient even when you're tired, even when you don't want to? I'm not going to sit up here and act like I passed every test, because I don't. There's been times I've drove on. There's been times that I've stopped. There was times that I felt like, I remember one time the Lord said, do not stop. I felt it very clearly, don't stop. I'm not talking about an audible voice. You guys know what I'm saying. It's just something in my spirit. It's just something in my heart. But to be a servant, and to truly be a servant, it's dying to yourself, and it's saying, not my will, but your will. And He's saying, you all want to be great. You all want to be wonderful. You know, there's times that I think about our church growing, and we've been growing some. There's a lot of folks missing today, but we've been growing, and I think about how God's using this church and everything, and I think, man, wouldn't it be great if it grew to this or grew to that, and we're seeing people every week coming to the altars? Wouldn't it be great?
But sometimes where you start is with the few, and then you allow God to grow as He will. If we stay right where we're at and we're making disciples, then it's fantastic. If God chooses to grow us, then it's fantastic. But are we willing, whatever He calls us, whatever He tells us to do, to just be those servants? In Colossians 3:2, He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so I think part of being a true servant is getting your mind right. Getting your mind focused on things above. And I heard this story, and it made me laugh. And a preacher that told this story, he said that he read it and it made him laugh. And there was this woman, and I think he said that it was an article in a magazine or a paper or something he read. And there was this woman that had made up a list of all that she hoped her husband would be, a future husband. She's not even dating anybody, but the characteristics that she wanted in her husband. She wanted him to be handsome. She wanted him to be kind. She wanted him to be a good provider. She wanted him to be funny. She wanted him to yet be mysterious. She wanted him to be good with kids. She wanted him to be athletic. And the list went on and on and on about all that she wanted a future husband to be. And then she was asked, so what kind of wife do you want to be? What does your list look like of the kind of wife you want to be?
And she said, oh, I hadn't given that much thought.
She had the list of everything she wanted him to be,
but I had no idea the kind of wife and the characteristics that she wanted to give to the husband. And the message was that I was listening to was talking about what we expect out of churches, and we want the church to provide all this for us, but where are we willing to provide for the church, and what are we willing to do? But it just made me so think of being a servant. And how many of us, we want all of our needs met. We want the church to be so perfect. We want our job to be so perfect. We want our spouse to be so perfect. We want our kids to be so perfect. We want all these things, but what are we willing to give of ourselves? Have we ever stopped and made a list of, like, how can I improve? Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? Like that guy asking Kristen, when you're 85 and you look back at your life, what do you hope to accomplish? I know that's not exactly how she said it, but that's how his mind interpreted it. When you look back at your life, what do you want to look back and say, I was a loving person, I was a kind person, I was a servant to you, Lord Jesus. Where I made millions of dollars and I traveled the world, and boy, we sure did take good vacations. What do we look at? What can everybody do for me? Because that's the mind of the world. But we're to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things.
And if we're truly fishers of men, and we're truly being servants, and that's what we're called to be, and then our mind needs to not be on earthly things,
but about how can I serve others? Being a fisher of men, what are the things that's going to attract people to me? And why do I want to attract people to me? What's the point of attracting people to me? In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, I find it. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, there's some people in my life that I can tell they got others in mind first. They're very sacrificial in their lives and the way that they live their lives. And it's not a task. It's not a put on. It's who they are. They do things that nobody else knows about. When everybody else is gone, they stay. Or they're the first ones here, making sure everything is set up. Not for praise, not for glory. It's just what the Lord's laid on their hearts to do. You know, it's easy to be a servant if you're getting a pat on the back. You know, being a preacher, being up here and someone say, oh, good servant, Pete. Wow, things are going great. Yeah, Pete. Now I'm getting this glory, I'm getting this praise. But it's not me. And there's many people that make this church work and function, that they don't even get recognized. They don't even get glory. Someday, when they stand before the Lord, those that were released will be first. Those that are at home praying for this church, praying for the families around them, praying for their community, praying for those people at work, and no one will ever know. That we truly put our own interests aside and not been so selfishly ambitious and full of vain conceit, but truly consider others first and how we're impacting them, how we're impacting their lives. Are we looking out and pointing people to Jesus? In Matthew 5:16 it says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See, part of being a good fisherman is that people see your life, they see your good deeds, but then it points to Jesus. It points to Jesus and that He may be glorified. In 1 Peter 2:12 it says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. How many of us do our co-workers, do our family, do our friends see our lives? Man, they do something different out there. There was a lady that I knew years ago, and she told me that every time she went to her hairdresser, that her hairdresser just was so full of joy and so full of peace, and said it didn't matter what was going on in her life, she was positive. She said one day, she said, what? How are you the way you are? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and that knows what I want what you have. See, it's not always the sermons that we preach, but it's the life that we live more important. That's the most important thing, is the life that we're living. Are we good babies? Are we good fishermen? Do people see our lives and say, there's just something about them. I can't put my finger on it. There's something about them that's different. They're full of love. They're full of kindness. They're full of meekness and gentleness. And they're always so, what is it about you? We're to be servants, live such good lives that they glorify God. We all have in our minds, I think, what a servant is. But I like how Paul describes, how Paul describes Timothy in Philippians 2:19.
says, I hope in the Lord, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. That I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You think about that description. He takes a genuine interest in your welfare. He really cares. It's not fake. It's not put on. He really cares. And I don't know about y'all, but how awesome would that be if people seen that in your life and seen that in my life? It's not fake. It's not I have to do this. Well, that person needs this at this time. And like me stopping on the side of the road. Well, I guess I got to stop. Couple women, kids, I guess I got to stop. That's really kind of how my attitude was. But to genuinely care, genuinely look out for others. It's not faith, it's not put on. Y'all, that's only something that I believe is through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we can have, that we can develop, that we can, and that's what I believe will make us a great servant, is to have that genuine care, that genuine love. In Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. I, as your pastor, need to be doing my best to prepare you for works of service, because it's not all about what Pete does, it's about what we're doing in the body of Jesus. And it says to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. See, when we're all doing our part, then we reach that fullness. Because everybody's doing their job. Everybody's doing what they need to do. You know, we had a lawn chair break yesterday. And thankfully, Keaton was sitting in it, and he didn't bust his head, thankfully. But there's nothing broke on the chair. It's like when he left, I'm examining the chair, and like there's no parts broke. And I'm like, why is this chair doing this? It makes no sense. But it's like you lean back and your feet go above your head and then it won't come back down. It's one of those zero recliner things, outdoor furniture, you know? And I'm like, I can't figure out why it's broke. Why there's nothing bent. There's no plastic pieces laying there. And when I got to looking last night, I thought, there's a little piece up inside the handle. And that's what I believe is causing all of it. So this chair made of metal and fabric, to look at it, there looks like there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. There's no apparent damage, there's no nothing. But because of one little piece that you can't really see, something in it gave out, it can cause harm, it can cause hurt, you can bust your head open. But there's no apparent damage to it. You ever think about a church in that way that, oh, we might look great, we might look good, and the main parts are doing their job. We got the musicians up here playing, we got the singers up here singing, we got the preacher preaching, we got the children's church ministry going strong and great. But there's just something that we can't quite put our finger on that's amiss. Maybe you not doing what God calls you to do. You ever think about that? Even when nobody knows. Well, there's times, and I'm not lying, there's times that I felt someone praying for me. It's just like I'm struggling with something and a peace just comes over me and it's like, wow, someone must be lifting me up in prayer. And sometimes I never know who it was, and other times someone may shoot me a text that you were on my mind.
What? You had no idea. Isn't that cool how God works? But it's us being willing to genuinely love one another, genuinely put down our lives and become servants of the Most High, and in turn, being servants of the Most High is being servants to our brothers and sisters and those around us, and getting over and getting our minds off the earthly things, because the earthly thing says, I want my husband, I want my spouse, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that.
But getting our minds off of what can I do to be a better man or woman of God, to be better today, so that people are drawn to Jesus Christ through my life. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. You know there's deceitful schemes right now even inside the church that's trying to pull people away, that's trying to destroy churches, that's trying to destroy homes. And that's why we need each other to build each other up and every part of the body to be functioning. In verse 15 it says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It grows up in love as each part does its work. You want to be genuine? You need to have God's love in your life. You want to be real? You need to have God's love in your life. And like I said, I didn't know how long everything would take this morning, but I just want to briefly sum up. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about one part, many bodies, one body, many parts. I said that backwards. One body, many parts, and how every part serves its function, and how you ever stub your toe, you stub your toe and you hurt, right? And your whole body can hurt sometimes when you stub your toe bad, or something's missing, something's not right. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, all that is talked about, and it's talked about how He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, teachers, workers, miracles, healing, all those gifts. But one of the things that I think is amazing about all this, when He's talking about the whole body and the many parts, and everybody's called to something, the very next chapter is the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. And describes what true and genuine love is. And what does He say at the beginning of that? That if you speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Being a true servant, I believe, begins with asking God to give you a love that only He can give you. And then taking our minds off the ways of the world and putting them on to heaven and the things of God. Maybe begin every day saying, Lord, how can I serve You today? You know, one of the biggest things that I get at work is want to take shortcuts. Other people do a halfway job. They don't do their job right. And I'm like, nobody else is doing their job right. Why should I? And almost every time I have that thought, the Lord says, who are you working for? Is it for this company? Is it for me? That I'm to be an example. Whether anybody's looking or not, I'm to be an example. So that I can be good baby. And when people say, why are you different? I can say, it ain't me. Only Jesus. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, just as Paul described Timothy as genuine and caring, not looking out for his own interests, may that be said about each and every one of us. And if we're not there yet, Lord, may right now we repent if our minds have been on earthly things. May we repent if we've been chasing after the flesh and the desires that we want. And from this moment on, Lord, may we stop and repent and ask you, Lord, what would you have me do? May you give us the strength. Father, I know we can't do this on our own, but may you give us the strength to do this. And may it not be out of an act of law, but may there be genuine love welling up inside of each and every one of us to care for those around us, a genuine love that we know that only you can give. Father, I pray that for my own life. May there be a genuine love for those around me, for my co-workers, for my family, for my church family. May there truly be that desire inside of me to serve. And may that be a desire for each and every one of us, Lord, that we might point people unto you, that we might function properly as a body should, so that none would fall away, that none would be deceived. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, these altars are open. Maybe this morning you just need to examine your life and say, have I been the servant that I've been called to be? Have I had that love for those around me? Can I tell you that when my kids were little, nobody had to tell me. Once in a while, Crystal had to tell me, but nobody had to tell me to change a dirty diaper if it was just me and the kids. I changed the dirty diaper. Why? Because I loved them. I didn't want them to fit in that. No one had to tell me to do that for my kids. Nobody had to tell me to go and fix them a bottle or give them food. I loved them. I wanted to do that. Just like now, nobody had to make me get out of bed and go to work every morning so that I can earn a living for my family. I want to provide for them. I want them to have food. I want them to have a house and electricity and air conditioning. Why? Because I love them. And that's the thing, is when you get that love of God inside of you, nobody's going to have to force you or make you. It's just going to be natural. It's just going to flow out of you that you want to serve, you want to help, you want to do your part. If it's at home praying for people, or if it's stopping on the side of the road, or if it's coming up here singing or preaching or whatever it is, it's just going to be something growing inside of you. Alter your open if you need prayer for him.
Thank you.
Colton Casey and Charles and Grace and anybody else traveling today? And then, of course, Tim is down to lift them up in prayer, Tom and Sharon. And Kim and Zach are traveling. And then coming weeks, Adam and Brooke's going to be gone, and Peter and Bridget's going to be traveling. And a lot of people moving out to food this summer. And remember Jason and Ashley, they're heading to California, and God would protect them. And so this week, when you're praying, just think about all these people. And just pray for people to get back healthy. Man, there's a lot of sickness once again. We need to pray that God's hand would be upon us and protect us. And those that are sick right now would get back better. And so Hayden's at the back with the offering plate. If anybody would like to give and help Kristen and her support, if you think you, it is all tax deductible if you do that. And so if you want it, the app, holler at her. She'll show you the app. If you think you can give monthly, if you can give a one-time thing, and they'll send you a statement. And if you don't get to Kristen today and you feel like you, Lord's leading you to give in a few weeks, then holler at me. And I've got all the information that I can give you too. So y'all have a blessed day.